Well, with me today on Bass Fan Radio is Dave Wolak. And Dave, you know, it's been fun. You and I kind of chase each other around, talk on the phone a lot, and do a lot of those kind of things. But I think there's enough new stuff going on in Dave Wolak's life that it's time to get you on radio. And I guess the first thing that I need to mention, of course, is that you made the Classic again.
Yeah. I'm really pumped about that. You know, the Classic is a difficult thing to make, and the caliber of fishermen that are out there trying to get in it, you really got to work hard. And I just missed it through the Elite Series this year, and I kind of got in on the back end through the Opens, and just it was a big sigh of relief for me, but as well as excitement at the same time. And it's just an overall good feeling to go through the off season here in the winter, doing whatever you're doing, promotions, spending time with the family, everything, just knowing that you have really the biggest tournament of the season, you know, coming up to start the next season. So yeah, I'm pumped about it.
Well, you know, you look at this, and now you're kind of a warm weather guy. You move from the Northeast down to North Carolina, which just has to be a change for you. You don't have to put up with the snow and misery all the time.
Yeah, that's right. I'm in shorts and a long sleeve T-shirt today, walking around. It's definitely a different life. I don't have to stow and everything away in the garage at all times, you know, to avoid the snow. And I'm not changing the coal furnace every day anymore, or changing the ashes. And I did have a coal furnace. That is the true story. And it got to be the biggest pain in my whole life. But I'm enjoying it down here. And there's actually even times in the winter where we're putting the air conditioning on. So and get to go out fishing a lot. So I'm definitely enjoying the warmer weather.
Well, you know, I think sometimes people miss, you know, when one of the Elite Series guys goes through the Opens, and they, you know, everybody says, oh man, they shouldn't fish the Opens or whatever. But in reality, that's pretty tough for a guy to do. You fished a whole series of events already. And then to go fish and change gears and go fish bodies of water you might not have a lot of practice time on is not an easy thing to do.
No, it's not. And you're fishing against a lot of the good local fishermen as well. And I'll be the first one to say I had some good fortune in those events. I kind of, when you go and fish a lot of tournaments, you have tournaments where things just fall into place. You find the right group or groups of fish, and you get the right bite when necessary. And that's kind of how they went for me. But I also made a lot of sacrifices to do those. And one in particular that stands out is when in between Amistad and the California Delta tournament was the Lake Texoma tournament, was kind of smashed in between there. And I had recruited my father to help me make the drive all the way to California. I had to do that in like a night and an afternoon in order to get there to be at the Delta in order to practice in time for the Monday practice. And also, you know, again, like you said, with the short practice periods, you got to find fish even quicker than we're accustomed to finding on the Elite Series. So, I did get the right bites, and it kind of all worked out for me. And it was good to see that I had a little positive push there at the end of the season to get into the Classic through those and to win the points and everything. I was pretty excited about that.
Well, you know, it hasn't been that long ago, Dave, that you and I met. You were wearing a Yankees hat, no sponsors, any of that kind of stuff. And now this year, of course, you were talking about the technology and the things that are important. You know, as an angler, right now, technology is the best it's ever been. And you're now with Hummingbird, and that should help you as well be able to find those fish a little bit earlier.
Yeah, the 997 Sidefinder, I saw it for the first time a couple years ago there, and I fell in love with it, and I'm going to be running that on my new Ranger Z520 this year. And with the press time that we have to find fish in practice, and especially with a lot of lakes that we go to that have offshore fish, in the past I wouldn't have as much time to even begin to look for a lot of the offshore structure. And the first time I used that, I was like amazed by how much quicker I could go and find some offshore things, because you're not only looking under the boat, but you're looking off to the side, and you could really get a lot of the fine details that you wouldn't pick up if you just had just shooting below the boat technology. And you know, I'm really excited about taking that and pressed for time, like I said, going and trying to find offshore fish. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm not the best offshore fisherman, but I know that this will put a few extra offshore fish into the boat this year for me, and hopefully that, you know, makes a difference for me with the whole outcome of the year.
Well, you know, you've had a great career thus far. I mean, you've, you know, made the Classic. You were Rookie of the Year for Bass Fan, of course, and that was across both leagues. You've got all kinds of things that are going positively. Of course, the Toyota sponsorship, and then you picked up Hummingbird now, and you've had Ranger for a long time. You had Yamaha, and now you're going to be running their series too, right?
That's right, yeah. On the Ranger Z520, we could put a 250 on it, and the 250 Yami Series 2 is kind of going to be a great match for that, being that, like, we talked a couple times about this. With the, a 20-footer is probably about the most common wanted bass boat out there, being that it's just the right size for both shallow water, tight quarters, and offshore fishing, big water with big waves. And, you know, to be able to put a 250 Yami on the back of that that boat, having the, you know, the big deck space like on that, that Z520, it's just going to be a good mix for me. And I drove the boat, and I just got my new one in, and I'm pretty pumped about starting the season with it, because I think that I'm going to be able to get in all the tight places with, again, the ability to run three-footers at a pretty good speed. So it's for a lot of people, and I think you're going to see that in the popularity of it on both FLW and Bass. That's going to be a really popular boat for not only the pro staff, but for a lot of people that are going out looking for a good all-around recreational fishing and tournament fishing boat.
Well, there's no doubt about it. It's equipped to go at a better speed than what Rangers are noted for, too. I mean, you can talk about a boat that runs 74, 75 mile an hour. That's pretty good when you're thinking about that with a 250 on it and a big water boat on top of it.
Yeah, and, you know, even in the big water, you don't have a lot of days where it's that rough that you really only need the rough water boat. So speed, it definitely becomes an issue. Now, I'm not a speed demon, and I'm always the guy probably going slower than everybody else, but because I just drive slower. I don't really push it, especially in practice. I kind of just, you know, take it easy and look around, especially if it's a lake that I'm not used to navigating. But, you know, even if you have a long run on a way up a river or on big water when it's not really rough, you want that extra couple miles an hour, not just to get to your spot faster, but it helps in the overall efficiency of the day. I mean, overall, if you have an hour run and you're buying yourself an extra 15 minutes, that makes a big difference throughout a couple of days of tournament fishing.
Well, it's a lot of cast, no question about it. Now, I'm going to bring up maybe a little memory for you. We were talking about, you know, the difference in the Yamaha, the new Series 2 versus the others, and you started talking about cold start. Well, I misinterpreted that it had a pull start. And you were telling me a story. Kind of go over that story, if you would, again.
I could tell you many more stories, but this one kind of stood out in my head. Back years ago when I was about 16 years old, we were one of those transition people from my family, that is, from a ski boat that we tried to make into a bass fishing boat, into getting a small bass fishing boat to start. And at that time, we had this little tiny 16-foot boat with a 35 horsepower on it that wouldn't start half the time. And I remember days fishing like little pot lunker tournaments, where we'd get all the way to the other side of the lake, have the winning fish in the live well, and sort of start, it wouldn't start, and we'd be wrapping a cord around the top of the motor and pulling it. And I remember one particular instance when my brother did that, and the boat, I think he still kept in, almost got thrown out of the boat when he started. You know, that little boat, I think right before we got rid of it, I don't think it, at the last final attempt to start it, it never started at all. It was a force motor on that, I believe, or something like that. They don't believe they make them anymore, but we have some good memories. I have memories of my boat, actually. My brother backed it up into the driveway, and I got it in the truck to go to a baseball game, and I started the truck up and started driving away, and the boat started going down the driveway behind me with nothing attached to it. He just pushed it up there and and detached it, and never actually put a block underneath the tires. So we all have those memories of the no plug, you know, in the bottom of the boat when you put the boat in the water, and you learn from every single mistake, and that's all part of the learning game in this thing, because I'm still making those mistakes now.
Well, I got to tell you, Dave, I've never had that happen to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things, if you've not backed the boat into the water and then left the plug out, you've never been fishing, as far as I'm concerned. Everybody's done it.
Especially when you're pressed for time, and if you're not the best morning person in the world, and you're not thinking, and, you know, even though things are routine like that, and you get used to this, the everyday routine of doing the same things, there's, you know, there's times you just forget little stuff. And I actually, the first BASS Open event I fished was at the Potomac River, and I backed right into the piling on the at the ramp, put a dent in my fender. I mean, it was like, I've been in a boat actually at that time for years, but it's just, when you're under constraints and it's in the morning, and you don't get a good view out of the rearview mirror or something, you're just always just making stupid mistakes, and we all do it, and that's just all part of the game.
Well, you know, one of the things I got to tell you, and I really enjoy talking with you because of your disposition. I think that, you know, it's fun to be competitive. It's fun to be out there really trying to win, but it's also fun just to have fun. And I think you're one of those guys that enjoy what you do each and every day, and you know it's a blessing that you get to do it. And that comes across really loud and clear.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. I couldn't be happier doing anything else. And, you know, I worked after I got out of college for 5 years and always, you know, had that dream and desire to go and do this. And that's probably why I'm happier that I'm doing this than probably a lot of the other guys, because I know what it's like to be on the other end of things and be at a computer every day and wish that I was out fishing. And, you know, it's just a great dream come true for me. And I was talking about this, in fact, the same subject the other day with a friend of mine who's a great fisherman. We fished the Ryan Newman tournament together up in at Lake Norman. And we were talking about just all the good times we had and team tournaments over the years and just the selfless attitude of a team tournament and just going out there as friends and buddies and all that stuff I still can't be without. I try to fish competitively in any type of event that I come across. I just love to do it and love to be out there with my friends and peers and try to get the family involved as much as possible. And it's just always a good experience for me. I love everything about it. I hope it never goes away though.
As long as you've got that attitude, you're going to be fine. Now, there's one other thing I want to talk to you about that I don't know that much about. I know a little bit about their products, but it's FinTech. And you've been with them, I think, since they started, kind of known as a toothy critter bait company. But now you've kind of brought them over, kind of they've crossed over into the bass fishing business. Tell me about that line of products, if you would.
Yeah, they have a great line of jig heads that, like you said, I've been working with them for quite a few years now. And they have, from the start, the onset of how this all started was at an Elite 50 event at Lake Wissota. Prior to that, I had been searching on the internet for a head design that could kind of be an overall universal flipping milfoil, flipping trees with any kind of jig head that gives me, it kind of gets rid of the Texas rig scenario for me by putting a jig profile with a Texas rig type of jig head by having your plastic make it weedless. So their line of jig heads has been with me for a couple years now, and I catch quite a bunch of fish on them. And they have just unique products, and they actually have a few products coming out this year, a football head design based on that title shot breakaway retainer concept, a shaky head for little worms and that I helped develop with them, and again, based on that same concept of the retainer that breaks away. Like you see some of the shaky heads on the market that have a spring, but that's a fixated spring. And this system that they have, you put the head of the worm on and then the whole worm would break away so that you get the whole bite of the hook involved in it. And just again, like the whole concept of both the jig with the skirt or without a skirt and just a piece of plastic on there, as well as the shaky head design, it kind of covers my whole jig head spectrum. And great products, and I use them quite a bit. I mean, I use them in terms of jigs fishing at this point. I'm pretty much all there because I find such just an overall universal use for so many different scenarios that I come across that I use it almost 100% of the time for a jig head scenario.
You know, Dave, I guess the bottom line here is that you're a long way from just wearing a Yankee hat. Even though you're a diehard baseball fan, we went through all this rigmarole here in the last few months with steroids and everything else.
I'm glad we're not even going there because that's probably, we could probably talk about that for another 10 minutes.
Well, no doubt about it. Hey, best of luck in 2008. I'll see you at the Classic, and thanks for being with me here at Bass Fan Radio.
As always, thanks, Terry. Glad to be here.
I'm Terry Brown. This has been Bass Fan Radio.